Now, this is Channel Two Right. This is Channel Two Right on Four Richards and Rio One. This is Wednesday, the 2nd of July, 1969. Wednesday, the 2nd of July, 1969. Now, this is on the Fast Sony. This is on the Fast Sony. On Wednesday, the 2nd of July, 69. And this is Channel Two Right. Now, this is Thor wants to get in another little visit before she goes off on her summer trip.
Good evening.
Are you not going to see me at this tape this morning because I'm not in the movie tape? I'm weird. Now, mother's was poor circulation when they went to see about hers. They thought it was, might be high blood pressure, but the doctor said it was just poor circulation. And she's kind of over that now, but she had it for 7 days. But I guess the men folks get it from lack of salt sometimes, don't they?
Yes, too much sweat, not enough water.
Mm-hmm. How about Gatorade? You know, some people, Joe Richardson can drink a bottle of Gatorade after he mows the yard and he gets so exhausted, he keeps it for that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Now, Carl puts hay fresca in his. He says it gives it a better flavor. That fresca drink.
Yeah.
Now, someone said the Gatorade, Carl put something else in it besides Fresca. I think he uses half Fresca and half Gatorade. And perhaps something else, I don't know. But he buys it by the case, I think.
Yeah,
he did last summer.
And that's brand new, isn't it?
Well, it's been here about... It was practically new last year.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't in the cans last when we went to Vermont, and we regretted that because our friend up there, Miss Shores, was so anxious. She's such a charming person. She was so anxious that she didn't know about Gatorade.
She wanted to try it out.
Uh-huh, she did. And I had a prescription for dehydration. I bet you which was the basis of it. It was salt. And salt and water and glucose, caro syrup. I bet that's the basis of this other stuff. Because it has a certain amount of glucose in it, this Gatorade. See what those doctors did? They just scraped some of the perspiration off the football boys and analyzed it, see what they were losing.
And they put
practice.
That back in.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how they got there. That's how they got their formula, so
yeah.
They said.
They must have had a big time working all that out.
Well, what is it that Florida State has? It has something. And then Georgia has something, too. Now, I don't know. Same principles. But I mean, these folks in Gainesville are going to town with it. Some of the rest of us ought to bolt some stock in Gatorade.
Sure.
I don't know whether it will die down or not, but they've had so much lawsuit about that.
Oh, I think they are clear sailing now, isn't it? This is all over.
I didn't know what it was. Not
well, you know more about it than I do, Paul.
No, I just follow the papers.
But I know we had to sign some papers, everybody at the university, after this came up to protect the university afterwards.
You've heard of old Dr. Newell, haven't you, who was in the Department of Agriculture for so many, many years. He was a tall man. And very fine fella. And this Wayne Neal came there at the age I think he had gotten his PhD at the age of 22. Brilliant person. And he roomed over there in one of the ag buildings with a friend of ours from West Florida. And the two of them would come over sometime and play bridge. That was back in the late 20s, the early 30s. And Wayne couldn't discuss, he could play bridge. Well, I never could play bridge, but he could play bridge, and he could talk chemistry. But he didn't have any other interest, because bridge wasn't his interest, but he was that socially inclined. And then we had a Jewess in town named Sophie Burkham. The Burkhams are still, I think Miss Ida Burkham is still living. She's quite an elderly person by now. And Mr. Burkham was a merchant. I don't remember Miss Burkham to speak of, but Sophie was quite a character in town. She was society editor for the Gainesville Sun. Now, I don't know whether she and Wayne...
For a long time?
Oh, yes, for years and years. About like Eleanor Crumb. Eleanor Crumb inherited the job and kept it until new people got her out, finally. But as long as the Pep was on it, I think she pretty well stayed there. But anyway, I think it was this citrus pup that Wayne invented. And he, of course, did it on University time, just like Cato and the others, you know, did it in the university. And university sued him, I know. And he went to Tampa. I don't know what Wayne ever did. I don't know how it ever came out. But they said that that was one thing that had killed Dr. Muir, that he just had so much dependence in the Wayne and everything, and all this hullabaloo just really kept shook his.
Well, you might say you could live above it, but you know, when you're right in the middle of it and people you
and
know are involved
him.
In it, it can be right distressing.
Then I know another instance. If I called the name, you would know them. And their brother-in-law was working for Kodak. Well, I'll tell you who it was, Lois Dixon. And her brother-in-law.
Oh, yes, she mentioned that. Yes. I mean,
her brother was
interested in photography.
Yeah, and he was one of the first in this colored photography.
Yes.
And then he was making a good living, what we all call a good living, getting all the way all there in Rochester. Well, then firm from Milwaukee comes over, just like the English department and the business administration and everything. When the head man gets out, so they come over to New York and put up these figures in front of Cy. Well, Cy had a good living. He had never wanted for any of the material things in life, but all that money is appealing, especially when you have two youngsters to educate and things like that. Promotion, and head of department, and everything. Okay, the second fellow, you see, wasn't promoted. And he went over there. And this second fellow would sabotage all this work that Cy was doing. And it never did come out. Purposes. And Cy did that for a year without reporting it to the president of the company. He knew what was happening. So he just finally lost his, went on and had a nervous breakdown.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did. And he just worried about just, and then they gave him a leave of absence from the job, but it just broke his health, finally killed him. It did.
Oh, my.
You know, he was above those things.
Yeah.
See,
Now, that's his sister, Lucille.
Mm-hmm. And Lois brought him down here, and I don't know but what he stayed down here. I don't know whether it was 6 weeks or 6 months. It didn't matter, but Lois kept him at the house there. And he would see people. I know we had him up for supper one night, and Lois would take him riding, and trying to get his feet on the ground. But he went through that stage, and finally he had a massive hemorrhage and stroke and killed him. But they all felt that it stemmed from just that one thing, that just advancing a little bit and getting. But that's the way they do. They do it in the bank instead of the fella. I know J.B. Carmichael was with Copper Bank for years, and then he went with the Citizens Vice President. Well, we all know that you need new blood.
Yeah.
And the time for this building yourself up is about over. I mean, Charlie Milliken went to Texas Christian College as dean or president out there when they brought in someone after Mather died, you see, that in business administration, because he didn't get the presidency. I mean, the deanship.
Yeah.
He went out there. Well, then, through his friendship with some of the people in Florida, I'm sure that he was put in as dean of this School of Business Administration at the University of South Florida, which he was very capable of doing. He's a very capable man now. He's president of Florida Tech. And evidently, if I had a child going to state university right now, I think that's where I would send him. I don't know, but I've seen the pictures of the campus, and of course it's still small. The blessing of that right now is still small.
Yeah.
It's not involved like these other big colleges are. But
Laura, Lois talked about her uncles.
Mm-hmm.
As if she'd had a lot of uncles.
Two, I think.
From the very beginning. And she'd lived with them when she was a child, and then they had come down and stayed with her when they were old.
I didn't know she ever lived with them, any.
Well, she spent the summers up with Uncle
John, maybe. Uncle George. Uncle George never did marry.
No, Uncle Billy. Uncle Billy was the one, he was older, you see. Uncle Billy, she called him, and Aunt Meanie. And they died, both of them, by 1930.
And that was Aunt Mamie, a sister. Was she an old maid sister, or was she Uncle John's wife?
She was her mother's sister.
Sister.
Yeah.
And then she has one of Aunt Mamie's. I thought maybe Uncle John, did he have any children?
No. Uncle George didn't either.
No, he didn't marry. Uncle John married, though. And I was thinking Aunt Mamie was his wife.
Uncle Billy.
Well, I never heard her talk about him.
Married her mother's sister, Aunt Mamie.
Well, now she has Aunt Mamie's diamond and her mother's diamond.
Okay. I see.
I guess those were. No, I never did know anything about Uncle Billy. I've heard her talk about Aunt Mamie, but I didn't know but what she was Uncle John's wife. It's Aunt Mamie's furniture, isn't it, that she has?
Yes.
And Aunt Mamie was kind of blind or something.
Her sight got, she couldn't see very well. So she had it painted, that ivory.
Oh, I remember. We ivored everything in the parsonage over there one year, but it wasn't antique furniture. It was just, no, we blacked it. That's what we did, to put black paint on. But it wasn't in it. Solid wood or anything we needed to. And then another preacher's wife came along, and she wanted to antique it. wanted to make it modern, so she cut all the legs off and everything.
Oh.
Off our, we had a right nice little solid oak buffet there. She cut the legs off of it. And then you could talk about that old parsonage over there that was about to fall in and had this modern furniture in it, man. This low cut stuff that poor preacher's wife in. She made like she had seen better days, but I don't know where she was, just wish she had, but anyway. But you can imagine everything in the parsonage just cut off. Like the mini skirts now, you know, cut off pretty short.
You don't know Lewis's family. That's curious, as well as you know Lewis.
Well, I know Uncle John personally. I know the cousins personally. I knew all the girls.
Yeah.
She had the most charming first cousin. And she was a musician. And she was just, and she was married to a man, Catherine. And do you know that Catherine couldn't drive an automobile? I was never so surprised.
Yeah.
She had a Cadillac and always had to get somebody to drive it for.
Oh, really?
And she was more or less a young person. Had his memory. She's fine. She's young. At least, did she fall in anything?
No, she
fell.
No.
Mm-hmm. But this Catherine played for a wedding one night. She had a...
Hey, I'm hard of hearing, and I have strained with
your voice. Yeah. Are you hard of... I tell Mark, he is.
So you're not using your voice?
I didn't want to holler at you. I didn't know you were hard of hearing.
Well, I can hear if you use your voice.
But Mark says I don't look at him when I talk.
It don't matter about that, just so you use your voice. I can hear you now.
Yeah.
When you use your voice.
But this Catherine played one night.
Yeah, I get that.
And the next morning, her husband got up to go play golf, and he said she was snoring. And the son got up at 8:00, and his mother was still in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And she wasn't there, and she was lying in the bed dead. But she was the most attractive person. She was younger than Lois, I feel sure.
Now, that was her sister?
Her first cousin.
First cousin,
And then she has two first cousins now who are old and who are very... One of them's crippled and one of them's has arthritis. She's crippled, too. So Lois is pretty much alone. I was telling Guy about Lois's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
That went to a better job and was
just...
They sabotaged his work.
That's a curious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Flora, let me tell you. You, once before, last thing you were talking about over here, and the time ran out, you were talking about the Bradleys. You know, they the way they wound up over there, they didn't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
And they, they just had a few things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard you talk about that. What happened to them?
They were sold at auction.
Yes.
And she had, she happened to be with her mother when her mother died. And because she got most of her mother's quilts, which meant a lot to people in those days. You know, they don't mean, and the dishes, and they had some beautiful dishes. Not having, not a lot of, but some nice dishes. But the sister who married Ms. Hawkins was a nice person. She had seen the better things of life, and she had children, she was a little broader than Ms. Bradley. Ms. Bradley just had Herbert, and we used to say Ms. Bradley even chewed his food for him.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, we just made up that, but she looked after her, but all right. But they were a nice couple, and they never did beat anybody out of anything, and they never did have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But they had a good living. They had just what she wanted. I wish I had a picture, Mr. Miss Brandon.
Yeah.
You know, he was tall and thin and worked hard, and she was a low person style. Georgia people, just the salt of the earth, you know.
Yeah.
But they never could make up their mind what they wanted to do with the money.
Oh.
They never made a will. And he had nephews, and she had nephews and things. And I guess, I don't know what nephews got the money. I don't know who got the money. But I was at Lake Weary, and it just made me so heartsick. I told Mark, I said, let's don't go back until after the auction. I never have been to an auction of things that my friends own, and I sure wouldn't want to go to one. You know, I think it's pitiful when people don't know what they want to do with the things. And you can't take it with you. Mm-hmm. But we never think we're going to die. That's the whole secret, the thing. We never think we're going to die.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher's sermon out here one time. And he made it very clear. He said, you can go to the cemetery and see those names out there, and you can't see your name on it. You don't think your name will ever be on one, but it will.
Yeah.
Well, that was very, very much the point.
Yeah.
And I would talk to Miss Bradley, and I guess I don't know why I would talk to them, but that they should do something. Children's home, do something with the money. I'll give it to some of the relatives. I don't know what the Florida law is about inheritance is. Whether it's a man that dies first or the woman. But I've often said to the children that don't have any children like Charlotte and Arwa, you should have a will made. No matter how much we know about the business, how much we don't, we wouldn't know just how they would want it distributed. And yet we didn't do that. If all seven of us had been killed,
well, now, he was, that's right.
Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Bradley was, he was saving.
Yeah.
It didn't take anything much for him to live on, did it?
Well, they had. They raised everything they had. They raised the chickens and eggs, and they sold eggs, and they sold milk, and they sold butter. And their wants were very few. They had a car. I don't know whether they had a truck or not. I think he did have a truck. And he, I don't know, he owned this property, John Newell.
Oh.
That Walter bought. That was Mr. Brad.
Oh, I didn't know. I never knew here what he owned.
Mm-hmm. But he bought that before Mr. Bradley's death. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether Mr. Bradley ever owned the bottom or not. But Mr. Lon Smith farmed the bottom some. Now, I don't know who owned that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Mark and Leroy bought that from. I don't know who owned that. I don't know a lot, because my children were small back in those days, and you just don't. I didn't know some lightning killed some of our steers other day until Mother wrote it from Knoxville. So you see, the boys just take it. That's part of it, you see. Lighting. I remember when it was, because it struck very close, and Mark was in the garage, and it always frightens me when he's out there with all that equipment.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it's grounded or anything.
You mean recently this happened?
Mm-hmm. This summer. A few weeks ago, we had some very sharp lights.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a very heavy bolt. And he came in the house directly to see if I were all right. It struck so close, so it struck down on the farm. And that's what happened. Last year it did the same thing. It's happened other years.
Would you say Mr. Bradley worked pretty hard this time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People used to work. Dad Richardson and the boys never knew what it was to take any time off. They've seen the day they needed things and wanted things. They worked for what they got. they like to dart and plowed and tractored and they made it by the sweat of their brow. I've heard some neighbors said, oh, they got it on the silver spoon. And those things irritate me.
And Bradley was like this.
Oh, yeah, he worked hard. Dad Richardson never knew the time to enjoy pleasure until he had that heart attack.
Yeah.
And then he enjoyed his neighborhood so much and talking and visiting and riding that he just hated to die, you know, because he just begun to live. But Mark's always had a theory, because I know I've seen Mark when we had vegetables, and he had an ulcer and didn't know it. And he said, well, Charlotte would say, Dad, I wish you could come to Daytona Beach this weekend and see me get my state degree for future homemaking or whatever, FHA in it. And he said, I just can't do it. To make next week, I've got to rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people don't give you credit for doing those things. I mean, they think you got it the easy way, and that's Freddie Wood works hard. When we eat breakfast, Freddie Wood's out. He works hard, and Kay still works hard. Of course, the boys are getting up in years. They can't work like they used to. But Kay gets out there and puts in a day's work. But there's so few people who do it today. I tell you, you can't blame the boys for not wanting to farm.
Yeah.
Mr. Bradley was one of the last who could live like that. You know, that sort of subsistence. Raised what he needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if we ever cared any. When we lived in Gainesville, people carried corn to the mill.
Mm-hmm.
We had a corn grinder out on 6th Street out there above Carl someplace. And that was we moved there in 23. So there was still a place you could take your meal and have it ground up there. I mean, you corn. Now, I don't know. I don't remember whether we ever cooked corn to the mill or not. I don't know whether we did. After we married, I seriously doubt it.
You didn't have your own little mill and make grits. No.
And I just don't remember whether we ever cared, and I don't recall having done that. But I'm sure the Bradleys must have done that for years. Go to town with their produce and come home with it. I remember Miss Bradley telling, did I tell you about the Negro woman that worked for the Negro girl and she swiped the eggs?
Mm-mm.
The poor little old thing had never had as many eggs as she wanted to eat. So one morning Miss Bradley said to her, I want you to fry all the eggs or scramble that you want for breakfast. You just help yourself. Dozen, whatever you want. I think Miss Bradley said she ate 14. But she never missed another egg. She had never had a fill of eggs.
She'd always seen other people eat them, but she never had enough.
She never had them. And we don't know. There are people today who want things like that. Oh, I don't remember too much, but Miss Bradley had some things. I remember a candelabra she had that was very pretty. It's brass and marble. I don't know who bought that. We didn't buy a thing Miss Bradley had.
Yeah.
But Miss Shaw bought one of these folding things to use your hat, put on your hat. It's on my back porch. And when Miss Shaw moved, she said to me, Flora, you want this folding thing with Miss Bradley? And I said, yeah, that's the only thing I'll have with Miss Bradley. So Miss Shaw gave me that and that. So that was on the back porch of Miss Bradley's up there. But as I recall, the Bradleys must have had a tub in that room back there, because Mother gave that tub to Lois, I think, to using the flowers or something, a bathtub when Cousin Charlie went there. So the Bradleys must have had some of the conveniences, but the old smokehouse was out there. What all questions you want anymore?
No, I was just thinking, I was playing the tape before you came. It's right nice. I hadn't played it. I thought you just going to take it and I wouldn't even get to hear it.
I want you I want you to delete some of that about the, that last about the.
I listened for that, but I never found it. You know,
if it's in the names, I'd just like to delete that out, the ones who went to the altar.
Sure. Preacher Gordon, preached the funeral of Mr. Rush down here that he had hunted with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, kind of how did that go? I mean, you told me, but I didn't get it straight.
Well, he just told the times they went fox hunting. That's what they did. Oh, there used to be some wonderful fox hunts through here. We've even seen fox. And fox is a fox.
Mm-hmm.
In this section. And they would hunt, and these folks out at Fairfield had a room built on the house of Charles Williams from Jacksonville Farm, for Dr. Gordon.
Oh, really?
And he had the kitchen.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. And he had a little apartment there. But he would go with Mr. Rush was one of the fox hunters. And then I think some men over at Micanopy, I tell you who would tell you more about that over there is
Mac Weaver.
Have you ever talked with him?
Yeah.
Did he ever go with Preacher Gordon and Mr. Rush?
One time he talked about hunting, and I had no control over it. He talked about the first hunt he was on 50 years ago, and he hadn't talked about any other hunts. I had my little tape over there that morning, and that didn't do him much good. I'll ask him.
Uh-huh. You might. I bet that would be because he isn't very talkative. I don't know too much about it. But
he's not talkative?
I just don't know. I never have talked enough to him.
You can't stop it.
You can't. Uh-huh. I never have talked.
He talks very well.
I didn't know what his habits were, whether he drinks or whether he does not anything. I just didn't know what.
No, he all
I always
know.
liked him. He was
Then
he was quite different from this other brother. Now the one that ran the store, I think he was real talker. Now Mac doesn't talk as much as this other man did, I don't think. But I don't know too much about Mr. Rush. He and I always got along real well, but he did like to hunt. But he did like
and
to
he eat. Had dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the funeral,
Mr. Gordon just talked at random. He didn't have any notes or anything, you see.
Uh-huh.
And he just told how they used to sit around at night when they were on these hunts and talk about things of the day and what about when he died, he didn't want any mourning or anything. But I don't recall any details of the hunts, but it was just a very personal funeral, you know, just like Mr. Rutland had for Mr. Kahn, just kind of off the sleeve, you know, and things that came to his mind when he was there. But it was very impressive, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear too many sermons like that in a funeral.
Most of them are sort of
cut and dried.
Yes, and.
Well, I think the best thing to do is
substitute the names, they could be for anybody.
I think the ritual of the church is just as good as anything to use, because if a person's dead, they're dead, and if they haven't lived the right kind of life. I went to a funeral not too long ago, and I had known the person for many years, but I had never known the person that the preacher preached about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, that's true.
And some of the other people that had known this person, they said, well, we never knew they were that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and present in a entirely different light than anyone had ever known them.
Yeah.
And in my way of thinking, it would have been far better to have had the ritual.
Well, it'd been better to have you talk about it, or some neighbor, and let the preacher do his usual job.
Well, I mean, it might put you in an embarrassing position sometimes. It's all right if you have something good to say about somebody, but if you might not prefer to talk about somebody.
No. I don't think that's a consideration at all. I think it's just someone talking about the person who knows the person. You see, who sort of is the interpreter.
But you know, you see people in different lights. To you, a person might not mean the same thing that a person means to me. You know, it's friendship or something.
Yes, naturally. But no one in public, no one. You don't bring out any of the dark character in public, you know.
No, but I don't think it's in a necessity to bring out all good when they didn't always present themselves like that.
I interpreted Miss Liza at her funeral.
Yeah, well, Liza was a character that most any of us could have.
Well, you could do the same. No, they didn't. The neighbors talked about her, didn't say anything, that she's good and all like that.
Mm. Well, I just assumed they wouldn't bring up all the things they disliked about me at my funeral.
Now, Flora, that's not cricket now. You see, that's not a part of it.
Well, they wouldn't do that, and you don't do that at funerals or anything.
No.
But, you know, obituaries now. I know a person that just led the most wonderful life and just did so much for people, and she was a graduate musical conservatory in Boston and different things, and what she did for the youth of her county and everything where she had lived, there was very small mention in a little weekly newspaper that she had once was judge of the county. To me, that was very second to what she really had contributed to the life of the young people in the community, you know. Well, that's what I said about Lois. Well, you couldn't write up what Lois Dixon has meant to McIntyre. There was no use to rehash that at a funeral, because people know what she's done and what she. The people that don't know, you don't have to tell them, because they wouldn't understand.
Well, it's a literary problem. It'd take a person with a literary sense to handle it. And you don't have that anymore in the communities.
Not too much of it, I know.
You don't have any. You don't have any at all. Not any. Let me tell you, let me see. I was playing that tape. Now you know, we were talking about the Thanksgiving cooking, and you said I just cooked like my mother cooked, just plain cooking. And then you said later you use plain food, but you don't cook plain cooking. You see, that nobody can make a pound cake like that. Now you call that plain if you want to, but that's just something that takes a long time to.
Well, what I talk about, what do you call this fancy cooking now?
No, I'm talking about your pound cakes and things like that. Now that's
and cornbread dressing.
Sure.
And making the turkey. Now a lot of people just make all these fancy dressings and put in a turkey and they cook it in wine and a beer or whatever. People just do all this.
Yeah.
Cooking now, that's what I mean about this.
I don't see any use of that, do you?
No, but they do it. And you see, and that's
now,
like
would you tell me what is better than just old cornbread dressing with a little chicken broth on it? What else do you need? Salt
well,
and pepper?
I know, but a lot of people want nuts in it. What kind of nuts? Chestnuts.
Yeah.
They want oysters.
Yeah.
They want a lot of sage and all that stuff. But we've learned that all those things, a lot of that sage stuff is against us. You can taste it for a week, or I can't tell you.
Yeah.
But now that's what I meant by plain cooking, you know.
You know, I never did get enough of pepper. I just love pepper. I was brought up among people who love pepper.
I did too.
And I could just take a pot of hot pepper, you know, and just put it on in the sausage, whatever it is. But you know, and I always envied the Mexicans and those tamales, you see, mm-hmm. for those hot things.
But you've learned that all this hot stuff is against you.
Well, I never did really.
When Mark went to Dr. Crago for prostate trouble. Not Crago, but Fitzpatrick. He said, now I'll tell you one thing, you've got to lay low on, and that's hot foods.
Oh.
Hot, rich foods. That means tamales and
yeah.
Mexican food and things. And liquor.
Yeah. But now.
Neither one of those applied to Mark, I mean.
But now. There's no sense of the word clean, Flora, that you can use for your cooking.
Well, I think there is.
No, sir. No, sir. That's just marvelous, fine, rich, tasty.
Well, I mean,
it tastes better. It just.
Once you have a little
taste of that pound cake, you won't eat.
What do you call this culinary stuff now? Lois Dixon said that Jim Campin liked to do it. What is it?
I don't know.
Jim Camp is quite a person. You would enjoy knowing him sometime.
Yeah.
Have you ever met him?
No, but you can't call that pound cake plain cooking.
I cooked two this morning. They're pretty plain cooking if I could cook them this morning with my eyes closed.
How many pound cakes you cook?
I don't know.
I mean, do you? One a day?
Mm-hmm. About two a week.
Just whenever you run out?
Mm-hmm.
You just
I'm getting ready to go to Lake Weir this weekend. I'll come home either Sunday night or Monday. I'll bake another one to send to Vietnam. To Purdy, his birthday is the 20th
yeah.
of July, so I figured it would take it. I hope it would get there on his birthday. I'm running the risk sending it on the 7th. It ought to get them in 2 weeks.
You just keep some on hand.
Yeah. A lot of times the other day when Jimmy McCollum came down here last Tuesday, I didn't invite him up to the house. I was going to Ocala. It was on Thursday. Because I didn't have a cookie and I didn't have a piece of pound cake in there.
And you couldn't just invite him in the house.
Well, I mean, I met him down at the packing house, and I had an appointment with my osteopath at 4 o'clock in Ocala, and I wanted to look for dresses. And I told you about Ms. Locker. And I just visited with him on the tree. I hadn't seen him for 3 years. I felt badly.
Can you make a pound cake and think of something else?
I don't know as I am, because if I'm making two like I did this morning, I leave the spoon in the soda there, so I know I haven't put it in. You see, that's so often what I do. If I don't put it in, if I did, then I forget whether I put the soda in the soda. Then if I put too much soda in, I ruin my cake, see, and if I don't put any more in, I sure ruin it. So I'm learning now I've got to leave my spoon in there until I get through with the second cake. I've just started baking two at a time in the last year, you see, this year. But I have two pans, but this morning I didn't put the right pan in the right place, and that was cook as good as other. You wouldn't think I've got 10 pounds of peas over yonder to deworm and put in the deep freezer.
But you can.
I can cook a pound cake without any effort.
And take something else.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about something else.
That's like fishing. They asked me, what did I do when I fished? I said, I think. You know, they said, what do you think? I said, well, what I want to, and then if I don't want to think, I just sit. The other day, somebody told Mark they thought maybe I needed to go fishing instead of to the doctor. He said when I get hard to live with, he gets talking about Lake Weir.
Florida, it takes longer to go fishing than it does the doctor, so you can't make
it. Well, I have wanted to go fishing for 3 weeks. I don't think I could have pulled in a fish.
Florida, what's the boy down in at McIntosh who paints? What's his name? He goes to Methodist Church.
Who paints?
Yeah, paints.
Evan Smith.
Evan Smith.
He's a nice chap.
Well, now, is he a pillar of the church down there?
I don't know if you'd call him a pillar. He takes up the offering, and his wife's a treasure there. But I don't know just how much leadership they take now. That I don't know that much about it.
Has he done that a long time?
I guess since they've been married or since they've lived there, and I don't know how long that's been, because he used to belong up here, you see. And he married this girl from McAnopia. She lived there, but the McCanns moved to McIntosh.
Yeah.
I think there are 9 survivors. Her father died the other day, and I think there are 9 McCann children, and one of them died when she was grown just a few years ago.
Oh, she was in that family.
Oh, his wife.
His wife is a McCann.
Evan seems to be one of the most personable people, and he talks so well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in Ms. Hayden's little Sunday school class, I used to go every now and then, they would just spoil him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Evan has always been a follower, not a leader.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to take a job like J.B. does. See, J.B. is an organizer and a promoter. And Evans works would depend on J.B. For jobs. And he's a marvelous painter and everything like that, don't get me wrong. But
He told me that one time.
He's the type of person that couldn't get out and promote his own business.
I don't know why he was talking about it, but he said they had done well,
mm-hmm.
but he said J.B. had done it, and all he had done was just work for J.B.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't ask him, and you know, it wasn't.
Toby's the same way. Toby has always done the electrical work, and I'm sure J.B., and they work for wages. I mean, most of their building has been on wages and not on contract. They never have made it. No, well, don't give me anything. Don't go.
Yeah, because Mother's going to come in, and we're going
to
have a little.
I thought I'd just speak to her in there.
Yeah, well, she's going to come right in.
She's
got her. She took her bath, and this is some of that,
Something Flo brought or said?
No, Flo didn't bring her dessert this morning.
No, I'm going to take it to Lake Weir.
Florida, does anybody ever get mad at you?
Oh, sure.
Why would anyone get mad at you?
Oh, they misinterpret what I say.
Such as?
Oh, I'd rather not say it, because I heard they weren't mad at me anymore, so I guess I felt.
Well, you know, in times past, why, tell me some of the people who got mad at you, and why.
Well,
you don't have to mention their names.
Well,
you can. You just all our friends, you know.
Tea or Gatorade?
Just love Gatorade. Well, I don't know why people do that, but we have a new neighbor, and she has children, and she's very sensitive.
I can't imagine why any of them would be so sensitive.
Well, I said to two of them in Sunday school one day, I said, you all are growing so fast. I bet you keep your mama busy. Taking up your letting out your dress. They were sitting down. That's all I said. And I thought they just looked so cute. And they were girls. They went home and told their mother that I said their dresses were too short.
And to let them out?
Now, I'm not lying. But if I hadn't had a good neighbor who told me what she said, I wouldn't have ever known why she was mad at me. She said, Flora, for goodness sake, just don't say a word to them except good morning and good afternoon. And then another time, Iris was upset about something that had disappeared in the park. And the boys at that time were making a backstop for a bowl, to throw a bowl, you know, bowl. So Iris had Flora, if you see any children, ask them if they're using it. If they're using it, that's all right. But if it's been picked up by someone else, I want to know about it. Well, Iris, if you don't have somebody to look after the park, what's going to happen to it? You've got to have somebody to kind of see about it. Well, I haven't asked the children, and they said no. Ashwood gave them a half of a board to make it out of. And I said, well, Ms. McRae was just checking up on it. If y'all were to use it, all right. Their mama got so excited, she went over there and she bowled Jane Wood out. And I don't know what else. And she made the boys carry the piece of board back up to the woods. And wouldn't let the children go to the park for 6 months until the Thanksgiving. She got mad with Iris and me both, and she won't speak to Iris to this day.
To Iris?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just can't imagine about not speaking to Iris.
Well, now, that was my fault, you see, because I was the one that said Ms. McRae wasn't.
Well, now, I wasn't thinking of that, because that's
but
recent. But in times past.
Yeah, I guess they did. I don't know. I don't have time to. If they get, hey, Mamu, how are you this morning? Where are you going to sit?
He's going to sit up there at the end of the night.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
I'm good. Oh, look at all the cute pictures of them.
Yeah.
But I never have had many people to really get mad at me that I know of. Because I never have had that much temper to make them mad. Maybe I ought to blow off sometime, but I don't.
You never did blow off.
I seldom. If I get my feelings hurt, if I ever got my feelings hurt with Mother Richards, which she never did hurt my feelings many times, I'd go home and cry, and then I'd go back the next day.
Mm-hmm. You have to have a piece of it.
You know, that's the way to do it. Not say anything that you will ever regret saying to someone.
Put your little chair right over here.
And that's the way I feel about it, because I'm sure I've hurt Judy's feelings, and I'm sure I maybe hurt, not intentionally. Mother never hurt anybody's feelings intentionally. But a lot of people.
Well, you know, I learned this a long time ago. At the automobile salesmen, they just chatter all the time. And the reason they do it is when they don't want to pop the question, are you going to sign on the dotted line or not, you see. The resistance to that would be so great, you know, it'd turn most of the customers away. So they just sort of work up to it and talk around and keep talking. And you chatter so much, I don't see, just like that, I don't see how, I think that's a great advantage.
Well, I try. I work
a fellow's not supposed to say something every time he opens his mouth.
But I've had people tell stories that I didn't say. And really tell something that I didn't ever think about. So once upon a time we were building this. You're not tasting this, are you? Don't take this, please. But we were building that toilet down at the commode down at the packing house, and we brought some rock down there. Well, Fred Wood told it that I said we were building a commissary. Well, I never thought about it. Never had any idea about it. And when they moved that rock in, Miss Anna had to go to bed. And she couldn't go to Missionary Society because she was so upset over us building the
commissary.
Now you see how people jump at conclusions that way? And all they were doing were digging a septic tank, see? And everybody in Evanston knew we were building a concept before I knew it, you know?
Yeah.
So I said to Mark, let me go down there and tell Fred that I'm surprised at him putting out such a report of what I said when I didn't say it. But I never enter into any conversation with Fred. I never have. Because I don't like that type of conversation. So I just pass the time of day and go ahead. But Mark said, no, he knew you didn't say it. So just
well,
don't bother. Just forget it. Just let it blow like it came, blow off like it blew in.
Because if you start explaining.
Uh-huh. And asking him, well, why did you tell that I said it?
Well, so I think of you as being in touch with everybody. You know, you can pass the time of day and talk and everything.
Well, I can't with most everybody except Wilma.
Do you have to sort of choose your people to talk to like I do, say?
No, I can talk to anybody. I never see anybody I can't speak to.
Well, I'm not talking about speaking to. I'm talking about talking to them.
I can talk to anybody. I can talk to Wilma. If I can talk direct, but I'm not going to talk to the children, see?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything to the children. And that's too bad when I'm crazy about children.
Maybe they think you just hard on children.
Well, why would I be hard on children? I've carried children thousands of miles back and forth to school, because that was before her church.
Yes,
but she paid me a compliment one time. She said, I'm going to stay in... This was before she fell out with me. She said, I'm going to stay in cahoots with you because I've got 3 girls to get married, and I hear you can put on a $20 wedding.
Flora.
I did put on one of the prettiest weddings you ever saw for $15 once.
Oh, can't do it now.
Yes, you can. You know, I did that.
Okay. I want you to tell Mother how you did that.
Well, this neighbor whose daughter wasn't going
to... Let me get that down.
let me get this down, because this is fun.
This neighbor whose daughter wasn't going to have any of her relatives to the wedding. She was coming and just had the 2 families. And some of the relatives got mad. And they weren't all in Evanston and McIntosh. They were other places. So then on Wednesday... She was going to marry on Saturday afternoon. On Wednesday, she phoned her mother, and she said, Mother, how about seeing Miss Flora and see if she can help me with my wedding for Saturday afternoon? And I've decided maybe we better get married in the church. I don't know who saw the preacher. I don't remember anything about that. But she wanted Charlotte to play. So her mother came up, and she was very excited, and she just didn't know how to go about it. And I said, and this family was coming down from this other town, and she had never seen them, so she didn't know about a house. And I said, all right, you just give me $15, and you go back home and clean up your house and forget about the wedding. And I said, and Charlotte will play. Charlotte didn't know what she was to play, anything about it, but Charlotte had her wedding music. I don't think we need anybody to sing. But the girl said she would have her corsage. And I guess one, I don't remember who was going to stand with her or anything. I don't remember anything about that. But I was to decorate the church and have the refreshments. And the mother said, I said, what kind of sandwich or cake tray do you have? And she happened to have one just like mine, a large one. What's that crystal I have for you? Imperial?
Yeah, looks like that.
Well, I don't know what it is. But anyway, her mother brought that pan up to me, that plate. I baked 2 pancakes, and that magnolia tree encased that was killed by lightning last year was full of magnolias. I went down to McIntosh and borrowed two floor baskets and one sideways, and I had a time trying to get it to look like something. So I put two arrangements in front and then an arrangement on the piano and one out in the hall. And then I used the Alfia, I believe, for the punch
table.
Double
beautiful
Alfia. Oh, they were pretty that day. And I just had those two plates of pound cake and punch. And I guess I had nuts or mint, but which didn't have a great number. But they got there, and I think they got there early enough to tell Charlotte something they wanted to play. And then when the brother and one of the cousins went up and got all the magnolias and put them in the back of the truck and didn't touch them, you see. They were all, and they got them that morning when they were fresh. And they didn't turn brown on me. Thing about it, when he dumped them, he dumped all my holders, needle points.
Yeah.
Never did get those back, so I lost a little bit more. I guess
yes,
it took me $5 off my 15 to buy the
holders.
And so we're going down the receiving line, Charlotte said to the mother, "He sure is a lucky boy." And this girl was one of Charlotte's best friends. So, well, if you're asking me, she's a mighty lucky girl. But they went to live with the mother, and it didn't last very long. Very unhappy.
Well, now, Flora, you ought to promise them to eternal happiness along with that $15 wedding.
Well, Flora?
That wasn't my fault. I'd done the best I could, but it just when they went to...
You got, I was devoted to, I didn't know him very well, you know, Jack McCrae's father, John,
mm-hmm.
and they had the daughter, Lois.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought she was one of the most attractive things I ever saw. And she went over there to Jacksonville to work, and she was having trouble getting married or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you got her married off there in the church.
That was just the wedding I told you about.
Oh, it was.
I knew that.
Oh. She's remarried, though.
Yeah.
She's married a divorcee with a divorced man with a child. I don't know how old.
Well,
what a charming person she was, but she just had complex. She didn't even come to Charlotte's wedding. She said that wedding's made me,
yeah.
And she could have come, but she's. John and Tilly are fine people, but I don't know. Woman that Charlotte told that what a fortunate boy this boy was to get Lois. I went to Gainesville to tea, a coffee not long ago that a mother, this boy's mother was giving for his fiancée. And so I knew the mother quite well, half for years and years. And I never had another boy very well because he went to PK and only child. So I never have known him, never have seen him, but on two or three occasions. And so this girl's mother was off talking to someone else in the line, and his mother said to me, I went over and spoke to her, and I said, this O'Neill wants you to come over and meet some of the friends. She said, "I'm so tired of hearing what a wonderful boy Al is that I just could scream." I had never laid eyes on the woman before. That's what she said to me. And I said, I said to all the guests coming in, you know, we say that. And I said to this friend of mine when we got on the outside, I said, "What did the mother, the bride-to-be, say to you?"